Good morning. It is Wednesday, August the 21st of 2024. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are warming up nicely. We are up 6 degrees from an hour ago. Sun is still shining. Temperature stands at 62 degrees. Again, just a beautiful start to this Wednesday morning, a hump day Wednesday, heading downhill towards the weekend. And coming up here in hour number two at 9:20, we're going to hear about a very special stage reading. And Bob Look is part of it. And Bob, of course, appears on our show every other Wednesday morning in the first hour. This is not the Wednesday that he normally appears on. But he is going to be part, again, of a very special event coming up later on today. And he wanted to talk about it, so I obviously said absolutely. So we're going to talk to Bob Look. Very important historically and very important to think about as we get closer and closer to November and the presidential election. So we'll hear about that at 9:20 with Bob Look. And then after that, going to keep him around, hopefully, and be able to talk about a little bit in terms of what's been going on in Chicago with the DNC. And I may even ask him, because he has his Brew Crew review. And frankly, it's turning into a magical season. I'm going to mention this here in just a moment about the Milwaukee Brewers. So hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well with Bob Look coming up later in the hour. And then, of course, in the final segment of the show, we will have our daily history lesson, talk about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history, talk about some celebrity birthdays, some special days being acknowledged today. And of course, we will wrap things up with our number for the day quiz. And in fact,
yes,
as we are joined by Ian Welsh, because that's his segment, basically. I quiz Ian Welsh every day, give him three choices to be able to try to get the right answer. And he's been very successful over the past couple of months, in fact. I mean, we are really on a roll here. I don't think you've had a losing week since back in, like, early July, maybe. I mean, it's been more than a month. I know that much.
It's been a while, definitely.
So we're going to try to keep him going. He's 1 for 2 so far. I'm going to give you a little preview of the topic in a moment, but I got to tell you something. I was talking to Paul Micklegg yesterday, and of course, he comes on Friday mornings, and often he'll bring his kids along, and then they'll take off after their segments, and that's right before our final segment of the show. And he says the kids love hearing the number for the day quiz, and they play along. They tried to, and they remembered, and they were actually talking the day that, remember the day that I had asked you, because you made a guess, it was the middle number, and I asked you why it was the middle number, and you said, your mom said, when in doubt, go with the middle number, and they remember that now, that, you know, go with the middle number when they're playing along.
And that was the day I was right,
too. Yes, and you were right. I said, you got to thank your mom for that. But I hope that many people are out there playing along with our number for the day quiz. And
it's a really fun assignment. Plus, even if you get the answer wrong or right, at least you learned something.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I did not know that there were 35 bathrooms in the White House.
Yeah, we now know that. So actually, 34. I think it was 34. Maybe it was 30. It's in the 30s. Right? I'll double check.
I think we say it was 35, 65, or 95.
I'm going to look it up. But do you want to know what the topic is for later today?
Yes, I do. Get the mental muscles moving.
There you go. The topic is attending a wedding. It's something that is involved with attending a wedding. So,
well, summer is usually a big time for weddings.
Yep, so we're going to learn a little something about attending a wedding. And I'm not giving you all the details on what the topic is, but that's the umbrella. That's the umbrella is the what you need to keep an eye on. So again, nice. Attending a wedding and you're one for two, so you still have a chance if you run the table the rest of the week to be able to match your best. And by the way, I was right. It was 34.
Oh, you were right. Yep.
It stuck in my eye. I thought, no, it's not 35. It's 34. So 30.
Remember that. It's not 35. It's 34.
And frankly, that's one thing I want to do before I get way too old and then keel over is to visit Washington, D.C. I've never been to Washington, D.C. I would love history.
Me neither.
I would love to see the monuments and the historical places around D.C. and go to the White House. Be able to take a tour of the White House and
maybe see
one of those 34 bathrooms. And
it would be amazing.
So, yeah, that's something that I would like to do something. What's one place that you've never been to that you'd like to visit?
One place I've
It could be a specific.
To.
It could be a place. It could be just country or something. Even, you know.
Honestly, I've never been to New York City. I've always wanted to see a Broadway show. So hopefully I can go to New York and actually see a show on Broadway.
I would say do it because I had the chance of doing that back in 2006. A friend of mine.
That's when you saw The Drowsy Chaperone,
right? I saw The Drowsy Chaperone. Yep. It is a friend of mine who's a theater professor in Minnesota. We went with her. We spent a long weekend and saw, I think, four shows, if I'm not mistaken, that weekend. Wow. Took advantage of it. And it was amazing. It was so much fun. It was, then after the show, going to the back, to the door for the cast, they come out and they sign autographs. But just being in one of those theaters and experiencing a Broadway production, I saw different kinds of productions. Saw the musical. Saw sort of a black comedy starring Nathan Lane. It was not a big hit, but I loved the show. It's like, it was a show called Butley, and it was against type for Nathan Lane. Actually, he's a big Broadway star in so many different ways, and of course, he was one of the stars of The Birdcage, the movie. Remember that?
Such a great movie. That's one of my mom's favorite movies. She actually bought it on DVD. Because none of the streaming services have it.
Oh, really?
So she actually bought it on DVD so that we could watch it anytime.
Fantastic.
The other one she got was the American President, starring Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah. That was a wonderful show, too.
I got to watch that one for the first...
Wonderful movie.
...time a couple months ago. And that was like, okay, this movie is so relevant today. I think people need to watch this movie more often.
I know. And it's like, it's wonderful to have movies or TV shows or plays that do allow you to dream a little bit or feel good about it. And I think that's one. And I think The West Wing was one, a show that you could feel like, hey,
I remember The West Wing.
People doing the right thing for the country and people you can truly admire. So, yeah, I
agree
with that.
Have you ever heard of this political movie called Dave?
Yes.
Came out in the 1990s with Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
That is a good movie.
Kevin Kline is really good. Sigourney Weaver is a wonderful actress, too. I mean, it's what talented folks. But no, I would say put away a little money from time to time, save it up, and then go and see. Go spend a weekend in New York and go to Broadway. The name of that, what's the name of that that restaurant? That Sardi's, right? Sardi's is like it's like a theater restaurant, and they have all these caricatures of like famous actors. And I went to Sardi's for lunch.
That was cool.
Fun too. So I mean, you got to do the whole experience, the whole Broadway experience. And
I got to start making a plan and saving up money right away.
Well, better yet, why don't you become a cast member too? Then let's go all the way. You've had all 70 plus now appearances
now
on stage.
Shakespeare's over.
By the way,
I just completed my 70th
yesterday
show.
I didn't even ask you about the weekend. Did I ask you about the weekend yesterday?
You asked me about the weekend on
Monday. Man, it all runs together here.
It is
Wednesday. I keep thinking it's Tuesday for some reason. Why am I thinking it's Tuesday?
No, it's a great weekend for Shakespeare in the Park, actually.
Yeah.
We had a little bit of sprinkles on Saturday night, but Sunday was absolutely gorgeous. And with the outdoor performances, Saturday night was definitely our biggest audience. And Saturday and Sunday had a lot of good energy, a lot of good crowd reactions and a lot of laughs. So
fantastic.
It's nice to feed off that energy. And my first time doing a show at Stewart Park in Wausau, the first time doing a Shakespeare show, and I got to say, I very much enjoyed it. And do it again next year, maybe I'll try it again.
One of the interesting aspects of when we had the director on, talking about that, you know, basically going back to basics without the microphones and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and having to project. Were you able to project? It was everybody, because I mean,
I was able to project. It was a challenge at first. Yeah, because outside, because there's no echo. It's like when you talk in here, there's an echo and you can hear it. But when you're outside, the noise travels further, and it takes a while to. Well, actually, it doesn't really bounce back at all because it just keeps going. But you have to make sure that you project and enunciate, because if you don't enunciate, people may be able to hear you, but they won't understand you.
Right.
So you have to have that find the balance of, you know, making sure people hear you and they understand you. So that's definitely a challenge when it comes to outdoor theater.
And something that when I read a lot of history and going back, you know, before microphones, about how when political candidates would, you know, go around and campaign and they would have speeches, oh, yeah. they would have to project. I mean, there could be thousands of people, a presidential candidate, and they would have to, it's one of the skills as a political candidate. They could not rely on the microphone to carry the voice way back into the crowd. So
yeah,
that
everybody has to project. It's not just actors.
Nope. It's definitely it's a vital skill. that people need to have. So again, that's interesting. So again, what's our topic?
Attending the wedding.
So folks, if stick around at the end of the show, we will have our number for the day quiz, and we'll see if Ian is able to figure it all out. Attending a wedding. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to Bob Look about something a little different, and he's a part of a project that I find very, very interesting that involves history and also involves what we are going to be voting for and about in terms of our election in November. So we'll be joined by Bob Look coming up in just over a minute. Chad Holmes Show on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes back with you here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. It is 9:20 again. Beautiful start here on this hump day Wednesday, 62 degrees and sunny skies. And Wednesdays, we often are joined for the first hour of the program every other Wednesday by Bob Look, who is also a guy that I count on when I get away to a very ably sit in for me as well. But Bob Look is involved in a very special production, and he said he wanted to talk about it. And when I heard about it, I thought this is really cool, because I'm somebody that loves history, and I think it's something that connects with history and also the upcoming election. So we're going to talk to Bob Look. And Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. And this is an exciting project, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a few weeks ago, just a couple of weeks ago, I was contacted by some folks about about doing a play, and I went, what do you mean play? Are we talking about big time rehearsals and all this, you know, and really investing a lot of time? Well, it was investing some time, but it's a dramatic reading, and it is what it's called is It Can't Happen Here Again. Now, this is based on a 1936 play that Sinclair Lewis opened back in that year, and it was called It Can't Happen Here. Now, what this is, it was a play that was performed on 21 separate stages in 17 states on October 27, 1936, just 1 week before that year's presidential election. And it was basically a play that Lewis had put together and wrote, warning against the rise of fascism in America. So writers and people of the present day, 2024, they saw this writing and they saw the parallels between 1936 America and 2024 America. And with a little bit of additions to bring the verbiage from 1936 and compare it to what's happening here today. And it's kind of a eye-opening awakening. And in fact, this particular play that has been rewritten by from the works of Sinclair Lewis, it's called It Can't Happen Here Again. Now, this is being performed in multiple cities throughout the country as basically a call to action here in election 2024. And that's what this is all about. And I've been working with some great people. We've been rehearsing this. And believe me, it's nothing as thespian-like that Ian has been working with or that. But it's a great connection. And Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, she wrote a book on this subject, great detail, a very successful podcast with it. And just that comparison of that time to this time, and I think it's really going to be an interesting view and listen to coming up later on today that we'll be performing at the Scani's Ale House and Eatery on Schofield Avenue in Schofield from 5 until 6 p.m. this afternoon. So everyone is invited. Doesn't cost anything to be there, but it's an interesting bit of time and some facts out there, and it should be an interesting afternoon. I look forward to it.
Absolutely. And 5 o'clock at Scani's on Schofield Avenue in Schofield. And the title itself, it's a perfect title, because I think there is a lot of people in the last decade who would think, this is the United States of America. It can't happen here. But the thing is, when you look at some of the greatest tragedies in human history, any of these places, you would say, Germany. I mean, it can't happen. I mean, it was one of the powerful countries of the world in the lead up to what happened during the 30s and the 40s. And you know, the idea that it can't happen here is such a fallacy, isn't it?
Well, the way this current update of that play by Sinclair Lewis, it's like looking in a mirror, where something that happened back in the mid-30s, 1936 to be exact, and the correlation to what is now in our electorate and in our political battles that are going on right now. And it's almost, they always say about history repeating itself. Well, doggone it, it is darn close as you can get right here. And it kind of gives you that roadmap of the things back in the mid-30s that you just took for granted, that, oh, it can't happen here, that'll never get going. Well, it did become quite popular back in that time frame, and fortunately, the American people back then, as we hope will in the current situation, is going to turn around and say, no, fascism is not what we're looking for. We're looking to maintain and complete the experience that we call democracy and keep making it work as well as it is.
What's one example that maybe raised your eyebrow when you started working on this play and reading it again and then thinking about where we are today?
Well, how similar it is today compared to what happened back in the mid-30s. Again, we're talking about the rise of Nazi Germany. And all the stories and that's it. Well, the new leader of Germany, Adolf Hitler. Well, he talks kind of tough and that, but he's pointing fingers at other things that are the problems of the native Germany that really wasn't their problems, but it was just basically to find a scapegoat or find enemies that really weren't there to get the citizenry to tie into this. And where a lot of other countries thought, well, that's just Germany. That's not going to bother us, you know, here in Poland and in France, mm-hmm. and, you know, in other European countries. Well, as time went on, we all know what eventually built into it by the 40s. And we're talking about World War II and basically the survival of the planet itself against fascism.
Again, that's at 5 o'clock today at Scani's on Schofield Avenue. It can't happen here again. And a chance mm-hmm. to see Bob Look, part of the cast of our stage reading of a very important play. And again, Sinclair Lewis. And again, I even saying that name real before we head off on an information update, such an important name that so many people don't even know, because I think that history is not appreciated. And frankly, history is fought against by too many people. But folks, go over and see that today at 5 o'clock at Scani's. Bob, can you stick around?
Yeah, I'll not do anything. Just get ready for tonight.
All right. Well, we're going to keep Bob around for a few more minutes after this information update. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 FM and 1230 AM WXCO, online at BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, talking to noted thespian Bob Look. Again, go and see Bob at Scani's on Schofield Avenue at 5 p.m. today in a staged reading of, I think, a very important work. And again, sending a message about what's happened in the world's history, and also in terms of what is happening here in the United States of America and the risks involved in the election coming up in November. So we'll again remind you about the information on that at the end of our discussion.
I think the term for a stage reading is a dramatic recitation.
Oh.
At least I think that's what it's called.
So, Bob, when you get later...
I'm just saying what the writer writes, okay?
Hey, Bob.
No ad-libbing.
Bob, I want to kind of step away from all the news and politics for a moment, because I know, again, you write the Brew Crew Review on Facebook, on your Facebook page, and I encourage folks to check it out. And frankly, last night I was thinking, just, you know, this is, as, you know, the Brewers, I think this is their 55th year of existence, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around there, you know, 55 years since they started in 1970. I can't think of another year based on what happened in the offseason, you know, losing your manager, losing your Cy Young Award pitcher, having the expectations be where they were, and then to have what's going on now, where they are 11 and a half games ahead in the division. They are one game back for the best record in the National League and Major League Baseball. magical. I mean, it's a magical run right now up to this point on August the 21st. And the only other year that in my existence that I can recall, and I was a very young boy when it occurred, but I still remember it, was 78 when they had their first winning record, when they had 93 wins, the first year under Bamberger, and just kind of turned it around. But, man, as somebody that's, you know, been at County Stadium and of course, following this team for all these years, this is turning into a bit of a magical run, isn't it?
Well, you hit it right on the head when you said the 1978 team, because I believe that the whole makeup of the Brewers just changed when George Bamberger was named manager of the team. Because I was at the press conference where he was introduced to the Milwaukee media. I was there, and I remember a question from one of the reporters to Bamberger was, well, with this fine group of young players here in Milwaukee, you should be pretty excited about the prospects. And Bamberger, as bluntly as he could, says, I wouldn't say that they're a very successful group of young players because they haven't done anything yet. And he basically drew the line saying, okay, now we're going to be held accountable. You're going to have to play better baseball, or we'll find someone who can play better baseball. And George Bamberger was a jovial guy. He was a nice guy to talk to. But he also he came from the Baltimore Orioles organization as a pitching coach. And, of course, you know the great success that the Orioles had during that period of time was the pitching staff.
Yep.
And he didn't settle for, you know, potential. He wanted results. And that's when the whole attitude just changed in the franchise's mentality.
125 games into the season, and the Brewers just keep doing it. I mean, that's the thing that's so impressive. I mean, they just keep doing it. And you lose the leading hitter in the National League in Christian Yelich. You find out he's done for the year. No problem. You come out and you beat the Dodgers the last two games of the series. You beat one of the best teams in the American League, Cleveland, three straight. And now, again, you go into St. Louis and, again, show the Cardinals. There's a new boss in town in the NL Central. They just keep doing it, and I just keep shaking my head over it. What are you thinking at this point? 125 games in, is this going to continue? Because I keep feeling like it can't continue forever, but it keeps going.
Well, unfortunately, this is mid-August and not October.
I know.
That's the one drawback more than anything else. It's good that they're playing well. Believe me, you wouldn't want a team limping to the finish. And again, there's still a month and a half to go yet.
Right.
And, you know, things can happen where teams just start hitting a wall. You know, they talk about the quote-unquote dog days of summer for Major League Baseball. This is the time of year where teams kind of have their fallbacks of that. Look at some of the other teams in the National League, like the Atlanta Braves, the amount of injuries that have hit that team. And they were basically penciled in as being, you know, a shoe-in for the playoffs. Now that's in great doubt whether they're even going to, you know, get into the playoffs this year. I still hold my thoughts about the trade deadline.
Right.
I really wish that the Brewers would have looked for and bit the bullet a little bit to get a veteran offensive player. It doesn't mean that we're thinking that this person is going to be long-term with the organization, but somebody with great experiences in the playoffs and coming up with big playoff-type hits. And that's the only thing that I'm afraid is lacking on the team. Believe me, I love the hustle of the Brewers play, the defense they play. The pitching is still it's smoke and mirrors. The most eligible free agent who's going to be most in demand after this season off the Brewers team is the pitching coach, Chris Hook.
Right.
Any team in Major League Baseball has got to be looking at signing this guy to a huge contract, because look what he has done since he's there. And it's not like he's been handed people with unbelievable talent and a track record. You look at the current listing of the players on the roster now on the pitching staff, and you look back at March when they broke camp to come to start the season. Who are these people?
I mean, Cincinnati was willing to give Frankie Montas away to a team in the division.
Right.
And he goes out there and gives up one hit last night.
They gave up on him, and what happens? He comes here, and it's like, you know, and how many times has this happened with players that maybe struggle at some place? They go in a different location, different setup, just a different vibe, and then they suddenly turn into a solid contributors. It's smoke and mirrors sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't work too. You don't.
Right.
But the point is, if you just stand still and hope that everything is okay, sometimes is makes you come up short, and that's what I think the fans are worried may happen again. You know, this season is, you know, you get to the playoffs. Well, now the playoffs are here. Now what? It's going to be very important, in my little humble opinion, that somehow, some way, the Brewers get to be in the top two in the National League for record.
Yes.
So they eliminate that short little play-in wild card round, which was big detriment last year, because who did they run into? The Arizona Diamondbacks. And where did they end up?
In the World Series.
The World Series.
You're right. You know, that's a very important point. Because, I mean, you talk about that. If they're third, there's going to be massive pressure. And the whole great season could go right down the drain in two nights. You're right.
Yeah, and people will go, well, here it is again. Blah, blah, blah. And I've heard that whining from people. So they think that this is easy. They forget that there's another team out there trying to win. It's not automatic, folks.
That's so true. In our last couple of minutes here, we're halfway through the Democratic National Convention, and I think my favorite moment was when Michelle Obama basically told Donald Trump, you spent your whole life failing forward. And I thought it was very hard-hitting. And at the same time, her old statement about when they go low, we go high, I don't think she went low. She just hit hard. What's been your take the first couple of nights?
Well, I think she just basically stepped forward and said the truth. And sometimes when you're trying to be diplomatic and trying to be where you could come up with a bargaining agreement, you tend to want to be kid's gloves. Well, sometimes you just have to step forward and push out the hands and say, no, you're wrong. That is not correct. And the directness, I think, was very, I appreciated it greatly, because I've made this comment before, talking about the election 2 years ago in the state where Governor Evers won re-election, and of course the election for a senator was lost to the incumbent Ron Johnson, and I said right there, says, and you know why the reason is. And everyone likes to kind of tap dance around it. Oh, well, Johnson is an incumbent and blah, 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 blah. No, if you look at the way the votes kind of just broke it down, there was a substantial sliver of votes out there, because there was one factor only, and that is the color of the skin of that other candidate, Mandela Barnes.
And not talking about it doesn't make it go away, right?
Correct. That's the problem. Everyone liked to tap it. Well, this country, we don't do that. Yes, we still do.
You got to say the truth and call it out. And
I'm not saying that's their prerogative. I mean, if you go in the voters' booth, you make that choice. That's your choice. And that, okay, we got to live by that. But I'm just saying that it's pretty obvious that the main ingredient for that, and especially with all the ads that were funneled in by the CPAC people on behalf of Johnson during that, you know, and talking about, you know, where he didn't pay rent or property taxes or something like, gee, how many people out there have it like not paid their property taxes right on the due date? They asked for an extension because maybe they had a shortfall in income or some other expenses. Everybody either has had that situation. The ones that haven't, you can count on one hand.
Exactly. All right, finally, again, let's get back to, again, what you're doing today at 5 o'clock, because, again, I think that it sounds like it's going to be a really cool little event, again, for folks. What are you doing at 5?
Well, it's going to be like a play reading. We'll be reading right off the, you know, the script, but we have, you know, a group of people who are performing this, and it's called It Can't Happen Here Again. It's basically an homage to the 1936 production of It Can't Happen Here, which was a play written by Sinclair Lewis. And it talks about book banning and all the various, you know, things to keep an eye out there for, you know, when fascism tries to take hold in a democracy. And that's what it's all about. We welcome you to be there. And again, it's not going to be a long thing. It'll maybe be a little over a half hour in length, but I'm sure there'll be other little discussions as that. But it starts at 5 and should not be any more than about an hour long. But it's at Scotty's Ale House and Eatery in Schofield Avenue in Schofield. And come on by there. It doesn't cost you a thing. And just bring your mind and your common sense.
Fantastic. Well, Bob, have a great time tonight. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Wednesday.
I'll keep working on my tan. Okay, I'll see you later.
That's Bob Look. Time is 9:49. Coming up, our daily history lesson here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51. It is Wednesday, the 21st day of August of 2024. That means it is day number 234 of this year. There are 132 days remaining until we flip the calendar to 2025, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date, on August the 21st of 1858, the first of seven debates between United States Senate candidates Abraham Lincoln and Stephen A. Douglas was held in Ottawa, Illinois. And those were real debates, not what we see nowadays. Those were true debates.
Seven debates.
Well, back then, the story behind that is there were seven congressional districts in Illinois at the time.
Oh.
So they held a debate in each of the seven congressional districts. So they went all around the state of Illinois. And it was important to do that because back then it was not direct election of Senate candidates. In fact, the state legislature. So basically whichever party had the majority of the state legislature seats would elect the candidate. And in that election, there were more votes for Abraham Lincoln than Stephen Douglas, but the Democratic Party and Douglas's party had the edge, so they elected him. But then 2 years later, those two would be on the ballot for president of the United States, and in that case, Abraham Lincoln would win.
So, how about that?
On this date, in 1959, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed an executive order proclaiming Hawaii the 50th state of the union. And we're still on 50 all these years later.
Yes, we are.
On this date in 1987, Sergeant Clayton Lone Tree, the first Marine ever court-martialed for spying, was convicted in Quantico, Virginia, of passing secrets to the KGB. On this date in the year 2000, rescue efforts to reach the sunken Russian nuclear submarine Kursk ended with divers announcing none of the 118 sailors had survived. On this date in 2018, California Representative Duncan Hunter was indicted for using campaign funds for personal expenses, including a flight for a pet rabbit. You should not be using campaign funds to send your pet rabbit on a flight. But I hope if he did do that, that he did get the rabbit a first-class ticket. But and on this date in the year 2020, Korean pop group BTS released the single Dynamite. It became the first video to be watched more than 100 million times in 24 hours on YouTube.
Yeah, BTS is a very popular band.
Some,
very popular group.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthday today. Actor Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City fame is 68. Actor Carrie Ann Moss from the Matrix films is 57. Alicia Witt from Law & Order Criminal Intent and Sybil is 49. Google co-founder Sergey Brin is 51. Singer Kellis of Milkshake, or maybe that's the name of the song, I'm not sure, is 45. Brody Jenner of The Hills is 41. Jamaican sprinter, still record holder, Usain Bolt is 38. Brooks Whelan of Saturday Night Live is 38. Country singer Casey Musgraves is 36. Actor Hayden Panettiere of Nashville and Heroes is 35. And comedian Bo Burnham is 34 years old today. If you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Senior Citizens Day. I'm getting closer and closer to that myself way too quickly. It is Sweet Tea Day. It is Brazilian Blowout Day. It is Spumoni Day. You know what Spumoni is?
I can't say I've heard of that.
Sounds like some sort of pasta, but I'm not sure.
It does.
It is Poets Day. So those are the special events being acknowledged today.
All right.
All right.
Attending a wedding is the number
of
the day.
It is that time of the show.
Yes.
Wrapping things up with our number for the day quiz. And every day we have a number for the day. We make it a quiz for Ian Welsh. I give him three different choices, A, B, or C. So based on the math, he should get at least one out of three right. So again, our minimum threshold for a passable week is 33%. But we expect more.
Yes.
We want you to be above 500.
Always shoot higher.
Yeah,
definitely.
But you've been doing well recently. You're one for two so far this week. So our number for the day, the average cost in dollars of attending a wedding.
Oof.
So the average cost in dollars of attending a wedding. So
average cost.
So okay. How much does it cost a person to attend a wedding?
Okay.
All right. Is the correct answer $580? Is the correct answer $780? Okay. Is the correct answer $980?
Well, weddings have gotten pretty expensive over the years, but the average cost of attending, $580, $780, or $980. Well, if we're just talking about like an individual ticket, okay, so that is, I think the, well.
Yeah, travel, gifts.
Travel, gifts.
Whatever else, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot to do in a
wedding. All I know is I've never reached this level on any of the weddings I've attended, any of them, because I'm below average. So, but
okay, I'm gonna say, well, that's pretty expensive. I'm gonna go with B. I'm gonna go with $780 to attend a wedding. B is my final answer.
Okay, the average cost in dollars of attending a wedding is $580.
Oh, the smallest number. That's well, a lot of money, though.
But went with the small one today. Man. So one out of three. That's right where you should be.
That's a lot of money.
But it puts all the pressure now on the last 2 days of the week.
Yes.
All right, important. Ian. Well, Have yourself a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Have a good day.
Tomorrow morning, we'll be joined by Pat Kreitlow from Chicago at 8:06. We will have our North Star Knows segment. North Star Knows with Jay Cricks and John Garcia at 8:34. Have yourselves a great rest of your Wednesday. Keep it right here. After an information update, it is Matt and Air on Air. And we'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.